My wife started Wednesday night with, or spoke Wednesday night about calling. And I'm going to pick up a little bit there with that thought. If you look in your Bible, do a word check for the word calling, or called, or call, you'll find that it's mentioned quite a few times. Different contexts. But God's calling, God calls, God has called. Are you called? Have you been called by God? There's a lot of verses. Thought about going through a number of them tonight. Not the least would be the golden text of this morning's Sunday school lesson. Can anybody tell me what the golden text was, or the key verse of the Sunday school lesson this morning? Romans 8:28. The called, says in that verse, the called according to His purpose. Have you been called? I suppose if you're going to grasp a hold of the first part of that verse, you're going to have to admit that you've been called. Now, we probably all like to hang on to that first part. All things work together for our good, or together for good. To them that are called. What does it mean to be called by God? When we look at the word called in Scripture, when we look at Romans 8:28, it comes away, or we would come away with at least the beginning understanding that every Christian has been called. Every person that professes to be a Christian has been called. There's the comprehensive call to salvation that God gives. There's the call that He proclaims to holy living. There's the call for people, to Christians, to share in the glory of heaven. There's the call that would reflect or relate to our vocation or our situation in life. There is a relation between the word call and the word will when it comes to God's call and God's will. I don't know that it's always interchangeable, but there is a relationship between the two words. God's will for our life is His call for our life. God says we are those whom God has called in 1 Corinthians 1. And those who are called, we find that in Hebrews 9:15. And then again we come to Romans 8:28, where it says, those that have been called according to His purpose. There's God's call to salvation in order to repentance in Luke 5. There's the call in 1 Peter 2:9 to come out of darkness and into light. There's the call of grace in Galatians 1, there's a call to peace in Colossians 3. There's the call to liberty in Galatians 5. There's a call to fellowship with Christ in 1 Corinthians 1. To eternal life in 1 Timothy 6. There's so many times where people have been called. We've been called to live in holiness in 1 Thessalonians 4, as well as 2 Timothy 1. Been called to be a saint in Romans 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, there's the call to be godly. 1 Peter chapter 3, there's the call to inherit blessing. We are also challenged in the Word of God to live according to the call. To live according to the call, or worthy of the call. You see, God's whole scheme of grace is described as His heavenly calling. And as people that are anticipating heaven, we need to live worthy of that calling. Every Christian has been called by God, but not only in these senses that I've looked at here thus far, but also every Christian, let me say that again so that we can get it understood. Every Christian has a call of God for service. Not just one, not just two, but every call. Now, it's a general call for everyone, because everybody has a place. Everyone has a particular spot to fulfill. It's an assigned place. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that as a member, a particular part of Christ's body, we have a particular or a special function. You've heard preachers preach on being members of Christ's body. I'm sure you've heard it a number of times over the years. And I really don't believe that there's very many, if any, in the body of Christ that are positioned to be tonsils. You know, easily removed without effect. Or whatever part of the body you say, well, that's what I'm the appendix. How many of you have had your appendix taken out? Or whatever you want to say, well, I'm that particular part. No, we all in the body of Christ have a special, particular function. Each one is a part of God's building. You look at that. You look that up and find out what part of the building you are, and you'll notice that in God's building there's not a single rock that can be removed without something ill taking place. Now Jesus tells us in Matthew that we are to be, as a called individual for service, that we are to be salt in a decaying civilization. We are to be salt. He goes on to say, not only are we to be salt where we're actually active in the midst of the decaying civilization, but he also goes on to say that we are to be light. As a light set on a hill, not hid under the bushel, but a light set on the hill. Now that's the words of Christ. When we think about this call, it's a specific call or a general call, but nonetheless, it's a call from Christ to repentance, to holiness, to inheritance, and all of that, and to service. We must understand, we must get a hold of this. We must have this lodged within our thinking that there's nobody else that can take our place. It's easy for us sometimes to say, well, if I don't do it, God will have somebody else do it. Well, we better be careful with that, because there's nobody else that can fully do the work that God wants you to do or me to do. You see, God has given you the background that you have. God has given you the special set of personal experiences. God has given you that personality. God has invested grace and mercy into you in such a way that He wants that to flow out of you into somebody else's life. You see, everything about us, all things work together for His purpose. Nothing in our lives has come to us by happenstance or by coincidence. God has a plan and He's using it to better us for His service. Because we are called as an arm or a leg or a foot or a hand or a finger or an eye or an ear or whatever it is that you are in God's kingdom, in God's body, to be used as a specific or in a specific service and nobody else. You say, well, how do I know that to be certain? Well, let's look at what God's Word has to say about our accountability to other people. There's passages in the Bible that speak about blood. Oh yeah, the Bible's full of that, isn't it? But there are some select verses that speak about blood referencing our accountability to somebody else. In other words, that if we fail, if I fail, if you fail, not just the pastor, not just the evangelist, not just the Sunday school teacher. All of those are included, but every Christian is called to service. And if you and I fail to be God's watchman where He needs us, if we fail to be God's position, in God's position to serve somebody else, according to Ezekiel 33, there is a blood stain on our hands. Do you have any of those? I do. Grieves my heart every time I think about it, that I missed the opportunity. I knew, as you know, I come home from camp the first Sunday of camp, and I've done that all the years of my ministry. I knew when I came home for the first Sunday of camp that I had a specific visit to make. And I got busy doing other things, and I failed to make it. And before I got home from camp after the final service, he was dead. And as soon as I found out he was dead, it smote me in the heart because I had failed. And I look at my hands and think, I have Mr. Modlin's hands or blood on my hands. He went out into eternity without God. It very well could have been that I was the only person. I was the last person. I may have been in the position that God was wanting to use me at that particular point. So, oh, well, preacher, that's because... No. If we fail to be God's watchman where He needs us to be, Paul is concerned about keeping his hands innocent of the blood of men. You look at it in Paul's life. You can find it in Acts 18, verse 6, as well as chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. Paul is concerned about his innocence when it comes to the blood of other people. He speaks about it right in those verses. You say, well, that's Paul. He was called to a specific place, just like you and I are called to a specific place. You know, there's sometimes that God asks us to do things. God has asked me to do things. I felt God's nudge, and I've gone and done those things, and I've come away wondering, no, what was the purpose there? Why did I do that? I was going to Jasper sometime back. This is perhaps the most recent. I was going to Jasper, and you know where the water tower, if you travel that road very much, there's a water tower, what is it, about 6 or 7 miles south of Lagodi. It's on the east side of the road. You're coming north on 231. You round that curve where the water tower is, and you start down over the hill, and there's a guy sitting there on the road. He's literally sitting on the road, Indian style, changing his tire. I was going south. I turned around, came back up, parked in the road up at the top of the hill with my lights or my flashers on, and I walked down to him, talked with him, made sure that he's got his tire changed, And he said, what'd you do that for? I said, well, I figured that my van's more easier to replace than you are. We chatted for a little while. I don't know that I'll ever see him again. He I drove away from there. I followed him all the way back up the Lagodi to make sure he got there safely. I drove on back down to Jasper, and I said to myself, why did I do that? Because I felt God's nudge. And I quite frankly get tired of having blood on my hands. Insignificant perhaps, but it's still there. I don't know the outcome. I don't know what will take place. But when we talk about God's call, we must make sure that we are fulfilling our place. Now, in the midst of God's call, there's some misnomers. There's some misconceptions. Sometimes people say, well, you don't need a call. What are you waiting for? You don't need a call. Well, we are already called by God in so many ways. God has a plan specifically for you to serve Him. It's not a matter of needing a call. The specific thing is, where does God want me? Where is God calling me? Is God calling me to take a section of my day to go visit somebody who in another 7 days will be out into eternity? Do I need God to smite me on the head with some kind of a lightning bolt call and say, you need to go? God's call, we need to be certain and aware and sensitive to God's call to specific places of need. Where can I best serve Him? Now, somebody may tell you that the need is the call. Be careful with that one. Because it's not the need that is calling, but it's God's will that is calling. Because there's a lot of needs. There's a lot of urgent needs. It's not a question about, is there a need? I must fill it. The question is, where does God want me to fill the need? Now, that's not saying you see a need and ignore it. That's simply saying that there's a lot of needs around and we must make sure that we're doing the part that we're supposed to be doing. It's not the need that calls, it's God that calls. Somebody else may say, well, the open door is the call. Well, that's only half true, because again, it's not the open door that's calling, but it's God's will that is calling. God will open doors. As I've said before, referring to a Gideon speaker at the Pastor Appreciation Gideon Banquet a number of years ago, he said, if you're a yes person, you will be used of God. If you're a yes person to God, you will be used. There will be multiple opportunities. As a matter of fact, if you're a yes person for God, there will be so many opportunities that you can run yourself ragged and lose your family fulfilling the open doors. We don't have that problem. You see, what our problem is that Satan himself will do his best to close the door that you are supposed to walk through. He doesn't care that there's multiple doors open for you. He will do his best to close the door that you should walk through. He often seeks to close those doors. Now let's look here very quickly at the call to Christian service. Have you been called to Christian service? Is God calling you to Christian service? I believe that He is. Now God's call usually comes initially in a general sense. And then it proceeds to a specific. I was 13 years old when I felt very clearly, very definitely that God had called me to ministry. I wasn't exactly sure what type or what exactly it was, although as I look back, I can see all the details leading up to what happened. But as a 13-year-old, I didn't know. I didn't understand all of that thing. I just knew very clearly when I climbed down out of that sugar maple tree on the side yard of my grandparents' house. Crazy as it is, or I was up in a tree, as high as I could climb. Pitch black all around. See the stars through the leaves. And I felt God speak to me in that sense and in that time. It was a general call, but I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the specifics were going to come because it was that kind of a call. You say, well, how do you know? Did God speak? No, there was no audible voice. There was no tingling sensation of the hair on the back of my neck. It was just the settled knowledge. Of course, I had been raised up to that point always with the thought in mind, are you going to do God's will? Are you going to follow God's call? What about your life? Are you going? Just always there. No, we weren't forced to go into ministry. That was not the idea. The idea was to follow God's call. And when I didn't follow and pursue that call for a few years, and I found out that my grandparents were going to cut that old tree down, I had to get on the phone and say, Grandma, you can't cut it down yet. You've got to give me some more time. I need that landmark. I believe the tree's still standing today. Don't know that I need it any longer, but I thank God for the landmark that I had for a while. What about God's call, generally speaking? It may be for something specifically right here at Wiseball Community Church. It may be something specific at Shoals in the community. It may be something specific in some other form locally. But it also might be a general call that'll draw you to something specific later on, somewhere down the road, in some other form and in some other place. I admire people like Gerald, who in his 50s accepted the call to specific ministry. It's unusual. We're going to hear from somebody this week who is somewhat in the same, although it wasn't in his 50s. But Brother Forsey accepted the specific call years after years of being married and raising a family. One thing we do know is that God's call is always progressive. Progressive, it simply means that He leads us step by step. It doesn't overwhelm you with so much information that you get lost in that information, but it's step by step, moment by moment, the responsibilities of daily guidance and daily obedience. Every day is new opportunities, and every day is new possibilities, and every day is new responsibilities. We must be open to any aspect of His will, any aspect of His call. Doesn't go for all of us here or the old people. Only is not who I'm talking to, but I'm specifically also looking at young people who have the years before them. What is God calling you to? I want you to get this. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to get this. It's not something that we commonly think about when we think about God's call in our lives. Listen to it. It is probably equally as important to know God's call not to go into full-time service, Christian service, as it is to know God's call into such service. Did you get that? We put so much emphasis on knowing God's call to specific Christian service, but what about knowing specifically that God has not called me to specific Christian service? It's not a matter that I just go through life and plan my way and step by step and I have it all laid out, all of my plans and ambitions and wishes. And then say, God bless them. But it's a specific realization or knowledge that God's not calling me. We lose sight of it sometimes on that side. I don't believe that we can take either side for granted. I believe that we must know, or we should know. We should do the best that we can to know. I hope you're listening this evening. Steps that you can take to discover God's call. First of all, if you're really wanting to discover God's call, you're going to be surrendered to His will. It's the only way you're going to make it. Surrendered to God's will. Sometimes that surrender must be reaffirmed. You say, are you preaching rededication? Well, maybe. There's times that we need a rededication, a reaffirmation, a refilling. The second step that you can take, or another step, not necessarily steps that would follow an order here, but another step that you can take is to live in the fullness of the Spirit. Live in the fullness of the Spirit. Be sure that you are filled with His Spirit. And then make sure that you are open to that continual refilling and that continual control and that continual equipping and guiding and anointing and being used. You know, if you're a yes person, you will be used. Keep hungry for more of what God has for you. The third step, or another step, would simply be active for the Lord. Seek to be useful now. Not when you get some big grand glorious call to some specific service, but be useful now. Bless as many people as you can in any given day. Another one would be to begin any preparation that you need. Begin any preparation that you may need. You say, what kind of preparation? Well, I'm not employed by any Bible college, Bible school, but that would be a good place to look. Nobody's paying me to say that for some PR benefit, but Bible college is good whether you have a specific call to ministry or not. Now, you may not feel like you should go to Bible school, and if you don't feel like you should go specifically that you should not go to Bible school, then you should be training yourself or learning yourself the best that you can. You know, there's very few people that read as much as some of you. There's a handful of you that I know of. I'm not talking about, Karen, whoever, and all those. I'm talking about spiritual building books. You know, there's some that just read a lot. What is the purpose? Well, perhaps the first thing is the discipline of the mind, and another thing is to learn, to grow, to be strengthened. I believe it was Edward posted or tweeted a little clip from John Wesley. He said, it cannot be that people should grow in grace unless they give themselves to reading. I don't think there were any Karen, whatever her name is, back in his day. I believe he was probably referring to theology books. Something that's deeper than most of us care to go on any given day. But I believe that he's talking about disciplining the mind and broadening the mind and broadening our spectrum in the knowledge of God's Word and an understanding of God's Word to read to better ourselves spiritually, to prepare. Bible classes, Bible study courses, Bible teaching books, God's Word. Read God's Word from cover to cover. Another thing, the step to discover God's call is to keep listening for the Spirit's voice. Keep listening for the Spirit's voice. How do we do that? We do that by renewing our commitment, renewing our availability, or reminding Him of our availability. Lord, I'm here. I want to be used today. Be active in His service. If we're active in His service, listening to His voice and listening to His call, serving others, keeping our eyes peeled for opportunities to serve somebody. You know, just a cup of cold water. Helping others. Not just our friends. Well, that's a good thing. I'm not knocking that. Helping our friends is good. But it's not just serving our friends. Sometimes God really wants us to serve our enemies. Keeping our eyes open to the needs of others around us. I don't know who penned this song, the words of this song, but I want to give it to you in closing tonight. They said, Jesus is tenderly calling for thee, calling today. Will you go work in my vineyard for me? Go and no longer delay. The chorus says, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Are you called? Well, if we accept all things work together for our good, then we're going to have to accept the reality or the realization that we are called. Not just called to salvation or to holy living or to a life eternal and all the bliss that goes with that and all those other innumerable things that are in between, but also a call to serve, a call to be a light, a call to be salt, a call to be an effective Christian, bearing fruit. I could have gone into that side of it tonight as well. And what Jesus does, what His thoughts are to a plant or a tree that does not bear fruit. You know, there's a few passages that talk about that. But bearing fruit because we have been called by God. Now, you're not going to do it the way I do it. I'm not going to do it the way you do it. I can't expect you to do it my way and don't want you to do it my way. We all have our place to fill. We all have a position. Are you called of God tonight? Do you know that you have been called? Is God calling some of our young people to a specific service in Christian ministry? Don't just say, well, I don't feel God calling. Are you certain God's not calling you? Because God calls. Many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, but few are listening. Let's be sensitive to the call, to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together tonight.